Now, I have trains at 7:41, 8:11, 8:41, and 9:11. They're all looking at me. We're getting a bit worried now. Yes, we did have a timetable. So I will try and get finished before 9:11. How's that? Okay, is that all right? Now this passage, to me, is very exciting. Because it gives us arms to be able to stand up for ourselves. We stand up for Jesus. Paul tells us to put on the full armour of God, not once, but twice. Not some of it, but all of it. Now, if you had a look at the centurion, it was mentioned he didn't have a helmet on. The first person that comes across with a sword or something is going to kill him, isn't he? Because he's got nothing to protect his head. He's only got a little shield. Now, Paul was obviously pretty well au fait with Roman soldiers, because he was a Roman citizen, and he used to go around condemning the Christians and making sure they were put to death, and the Roman soldiers obviously were with him. Now, Paul, I think, really admired their discipline, the way they really stood their ground even when there was real problems. If you remember some of the films and different things we see, and what we were taught at school was that great big shield, the big shield, that's another one. He hasn't got a helmet on either, so he's in trouble. Let's find one with a helmet on. There we are. He's got a big shield and a helmet. Now what the Romans used to do, they used to get together either in a line with their great big shields in front of them and move forward like that. Or, when they were in real trouble and the arrows were coming over, there'd be some would hold their shields forward and they'd actually hold them over the top of them, so the arrows couldn't actually hit them. They were pretty clever and they were pretty awesome. Now, Paul is actually describing the armour in a spiritual way, how we should do it. So parts of the armour will always help us. We've got partial protection. The whole of the armour should give us full protection. Now the belt, without a belt, the skirt will fall down. The skirt was part of the armour. And they had their dangly bits hanging from it. And this was quite often chainmail. So the belt was really important. Now, Paul's telling us about the belt. I've got to find it. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your base, your waist. So, what is he telling us? First of all, to tell the truth. I believe I'm telling the truth in trying to share the word of God of what Paul is trying to tell us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is a breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, the breastplate, there it is. Protects our shoulders, protects our front. And that stops somebody hitting us in the front. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I think he means sandals. Because we'd be pretty uncomfortable walking without sandals, and the roads were pretty rough. You walked in bare feet, your feet would get cut to ribbons very quickly. Because the Roman roads were built of stones, lumps of stones, etc. Very, very good for marching, etc., because they were pretty flat. But if you had bare feet, you soon get cut about. Now, the gospel of peace, what does gospel mean? Good news. The good news of the peace of Jesus. We're armed with the gospel of Jesus, which he's actually given us. Then we've got to take up the shield of faith. Now, when things get bad, hold up the shield, and the arrows, etc., can't come in. And the arrows do come in. We know. We have hard times, don't we? All of us, where things are difficult. If we can believe and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the power of prayer, doesn't matter how bad things get, we can feel and know he is with us. The shield which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. Now the helmet, when we've asked Jesus into our lives, we're saved. So it's the salvation that has been given to us. So the helmet will protect our heads. And the sword of the Spirit. Now what does Paul mean there? Because the sword is not really protection. He is asking us to go out in the world and fight for him. Because it is the word of God. The word of God is God's word. All the bits will fall out, don't worry. The word of God. Now I've got a piece of paper here. Now Paul is warning us, and we've got to believe, that there is evil spiritual powers that abound on this earth. I believe there is. He is asking us to take up God's armour, which he's given each and every one of us to arm us, for his protection. To pray, because if we move on in that, what is it, once we've got all this armour on, what's Paul saying? We should pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. If God's not going to answer us, what's the purpose of praying? Paul is actually telling us it's good to pray, and we should be praying for each other. We should believe in the prayers, because the prayers are strengthening our armour. He says, pray in the Spirit. Now I believe praying in the Spirit, there's two ways. Or perhaps there's more. We can pray in our own minds, where our spirit is calling out to the Spirit of God. But God has also given us a special prayer language, which Paul talks about all the way through. The gift of tongues. And sometimes not knowing what we're saying with that gift of tongues, when we're praying in the Spirit, in our own minds, we're actually connecting directly with God's Holy Spirit. And our prayers have been, even sometimes we're not understanding what God is doing through us. That special language is really drawing us close. You've probably heard sometimes during prayer or ministry, the person that's ministering to somebody else prays in tongues. That's another way of God's language. Sometimes if you go to a Pentecostal church, some other churches, because it happens in the Church of England as well. I don't know about the Baptist church. I've never heard it happen in a Baptist church yet, not fully, where prophecy is given with the gift of tongues. But if that prophecy is given, there should always be an interpretation. If not, that is just a mess, and it does not edify God in any way or form. And sometimes you go into churches and they have tongues and they all go off one after the other. That is not God's prayer language. God's prayer language is used for us to learn to pray to him, and also to have an interpretation so we know what God is actually speaking to us. So Paul is asking us to pray in the Spirit. Now I believe when not just praying in the Spirit, as I've just said, we're praying for each other in the Spirit as well. When we lay laying on hands, sometimes you'll hear Mike, you might hear myself praying tongues for you. Don't be nervous. It's God's prayer language. The last thing, because I'm not going to keep you very long tonight, I did promise. The last thing, Paul says, keep praying for each other. Now, what does he say? Keep praying for the saints. Now, he doesn't mean St. Matthew, St. Luke, St. John, St. Mark, or all the things the Roman Catholics pray for. They're saints. We don't have to get down on our knees to all these idols. The saints Paul is talking about are us. Those that believe and trust in Jesus Christ have asked him into our lives. We are saints. We're promised we're saints in heaven. And what does he say last of all? And I think I can ask the same thing. He says, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Please pray for me and for anybody else that ministers in this church, that the words given to them will come from the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this church can then grow. I've been very impressed. We've only had a few weeks now on our own. 2 weeks I wasn't here. But what I've heard so far, I believe God is really speaking to this church through the people that are standing up in front of us. And I thank him for that. It wasn't 10 past 9, was it? But we've got a little way to go yet. Now, my next song...